O Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From Jeremiah chapter 36, the reading which Tony read to us just a few minutes ago, and verse 24. Jehoiakim and his attendants hearing the words of the scroll. King Jehoiakim and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, neither did they tear their clothes. God's verdict on King Jehoiakim's reign was clear. Second book of Kings, chapter 23, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his predecessors had done. And in the fourth year of his evil reign, Jeremiah hears God's command. God tells Jeremiah to take a scroll and write on it everything that he had spoken to him. And the desire of God's heart, and this is verse 3 of our passage, was that the king and the people, the nation, would turn and find forgiveness and restoration and healing. Jeremiah was unable to read the scroll himself. In the part of the chapter which was omitted from our reading, Jeremiah explains to his scribe and assistant Baruch that he is restricted. Rules had been imposed upon him to stop him causing trouble. He was unable to go to the temple. So his assistant Baruch reads the scroll. The words of the scroll made a good impact on some, including some in quite high places. A man called Micaiah goes to the royal palace to report, and the officials there call for Baruch, who reads the scroll to them. And here our reading was resumed in verse 16. When they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear. And the king must be told. Presumably knowing the danger that Baruch was in, he is told to hide. And another man, Jehudi, reads the scroll to the king. And then we find the king's reaction. Whenever Jehudi read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them onto the brazier until the entire scroll was burnt in the fire. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear. What was in the scroll? What were God's words for which King Jehoiakim showed such disdain and contempt? Verse 2 of the passage, all the words I have spoken to you. They were words of warning and judgment, but underpinned with a call to repentance and the offer held out of mercy and forgiveness. We're coming towards the end of our look in recent weeks at the prophet Jeremiah and his long prophecy. And here I'm perhaps foolish enough to select some edited highlights of Jeremiah's message. And we might surmise that all these things featured in the words on the scroll. Jeremiah had an immense vision of God, his power, and his knowledge of the human heart. From chapter 27, with my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it. From verse 17, I the Lord, chapter 17, I the Lord search the heart and examine the mind. from chapter 23. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? An immense vision of God. Jeremiah's God was a God who warned of judgment. Chapter 15, I will winnow them with a winnowing fork. I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people, for they have not changed their ways. From chapter 25, take from my hand the cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make the nations to whom I send you drink it. They will stagger and go mad because of the sword I will send among them. Terrible words. Jeremiah's God was a God who calls for repentance, turning of heart back to him. From chapter 3, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful. Only acknowledge your guilt that you have rebelled against the Lord your God. And Jeremiah's God was a God who offers hope, a mighty hope, that God would ultimately do what man cannot and will not do. From chapter 23, I will place shepherds over my people who will tend them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely. And chapter 31, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. A hope for the future so great, so rich, that it finds its fulfillment only in our Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, his return, to which Christian people still look forward. And today in Holy Communion, we take and drink the cup of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The massive range of Jeremiah's prophecy, and we might imagine something of the massive range of the words on the scroll. But to all of them, the attitude of King Jehoiakim was of utter contempt and disdain. This was a message of which he had no need, a message which he despised. He cut the scroll into pieces and burnt it, showing no fear. And his contempt or disdain was, of course, not at root for the parchment that he burnt, nor for the writing on it, nor for its human author, Jeremiah, but for the God who breathed into its words. Confronted with God's words, King Jehoiakim showed no fear. His attitude of heart indeed contrasted with the court officials earlier, who on hearing the earlier reading of the scroll had looked at each other in fear. What place for fear in our heart attitude and approach to God? What place for fear in the Christian's relationship with God? Perhaps none, we might say. For does not John, in his first letter, tell us There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Peter, in his first letter, says simply, fear God. And Paul, in the letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So what is the unhealthy and damaging fear from which the good news of Jesus Christ delivers us? The fear which the perfect love of Jesus Christ drives out? And what is the healthy and good and right fear which the New Testament commends and commands? Fear God. Perhaps the damaging and destructive fear is fear in opposition or contrast to the love and trust towards a heavenly Father which the gospel offers us through Jesus and to which it encourages us always. A fear which cowers in terror, in contrast to an attitude which accepts God's loving embrace in his Son, which delivers us from fear of that sort. On the other hand, perhaps the healthy and right fear is fear in opposition or contrast to the contempt and disdain such as we see in King Jehoiakim and his arrogant dismissal of the Word of God and the things of God. We might use other words to describe this fear: reverence, awe, humility. A healthy and good and right fear as we approach God. The writer of the Hebrews says this in chapter 12, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Of the two men in the temple in Jesus' parable, the one who approached God with fear in that good sense of awe and reverence, humbly admitting his great need, was the publican. The Pharisee had no fear. This morning we approach God in this Holy Communion service. And as we approach him, our liturgy, rooted as it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, rooted as it is in the scriptures, in the New Testament, our liturgy repeatedly reminds us that as we approach Almighty God, we do so as needy people. We do so needing humbly to seek his mercy. Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. And the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. And of course, the next word is but. I close by quoting two verses from a hymn. The author also wrote the hymn we sang just a few minutes ago. F.W. Faber, 19th century hymn writer. It's a rare example of a hymn which, in mission praise, has been damagingly altered. But here are two verses as they appear in many older hymn books. The first line of the hymn is, "My God, how wonderful thou art." And these verses express an approach to God in fear, and yet knowing God's tender, fatherly love and mercy. Faber writes this, "Oh, how I fear thee, living God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. Yet I may love thee too, O Lord, almighty as thou art, for thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart." Amen.